everybody. Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 202 on June 5th, 2018. Changing this world one ass at a time. If you are a pegging aficionado or a hopeful pegging aficionado and you'd like to support my efforts to offer accurate information and deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the Support My Work button on my website. Another way to support my work is through enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Enticeme offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I also offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Enticeme. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Okay, let's check in on Patreon.
Yes.
Ethan pledged $5 a month. Ethan, thank you so much for becoming my patron. I really appreciate it. And Buy Since Birth pledged $50 a month. That is quite a generous pledge. Your support means so much to me. Thank you both. I really appreciate it, and I hope you're having fun. If you're not already on the chat channel, get on the chat channel and say hello and having fun reading the erotica and all that other stuff. Okay, let's get to the letters. So first off, I have to read a couple of entries that I found that had been ignored for a short period of time, sadly, on the forum. And I'm so sad to tell you this, so I figured I would just read it on the podcast and answer it here. So this was because this was from January. Hello, I'm a 49-year-old male with my wife for 18 years, happily married. I just told her about my toy collection and fantasies within the year. Well, I had told her before, 12 years ago, and we did try pegging once, but it was just all too awkward for us, and we let it go. She's known for quite some time that I enjoy large anal toys, but I have kept it to myself over the years for fear that she would question my sexuality. I've been stretching myself quite happily to accommodate rather large dildos. Our sex life has been quite slow over the last few years, and I've gotten more into the toys, and I've decided to bring it all out in the open. I showed my wife all of them and explained how I like to use them. I think we were both confused as to how she feels about it. I don't think it turns her on, but she does allow me to use a butt plug in bed and teases me lightly about the dildos from time to time, assuring me that I should keep them handy for myself instead of in my office, and encourages me to be at ease about it. Perhaps I've been more nervous about her reaction than she mine. I think we're working towards mutually wanting to try using the toys on myself and to show her how enjoyable a larger dildo can be. Last night during sex, I told her I'd like to show her what I do with one, and she seemed mildly excited about it. Next time I may bring one to bed. Anyway, the short, I'm a man who loves being penetrated anally and would love to learn more about how a relationship can comfortably slip into this sort of thing. I'm also interested in cross-dressing and role-play. My absolute secret fantasy is to have my wife direct me to be taken by multiple men orally and anally, used in front of her while she watches and directs the act. I don't consider myself gay, possibly bi. I hope this forum will help us become more comfortable with our sex. Oh, I do too. Isn't that a lovely thing, is to have any degree of comfortable feeling about sexual acts that you fantasize about or do that have been labeled bad and shameful and weird and all of those things. I know how that one feels. So I absolutely hope this forum will help you feel more comfortable with all that. So I can't help but remember that this was posted in January, and it sounded like in your post that there was a sense of impending, you know, we're going to do this soon. I'm going to talk to her about it. So first of all, I'm wondering if anything's happened, and if you have proceeded further down the line on that, and as far as incorporating it into your relationship in a way that's comfortable, it sounds like you've already got a ways down the path. In other words, what I mean is, I love that she is encouraging you to be at ease about it. That speaks volumes about how open-minded she is about sexuality. So, of course, I would be curious if she's listened to podcast number 112 yet, because if she has any concerns, that'd be a cool thing for her to listen to. You guys might want to listen to it together. And as always, you need to listen to it first and make sure it's something that is right for her. And only you can decide that, being her partner. But beyond that, I think that you're going down the path just fine. Little by little, talk with her, communicate with her, offer to show her what you do. And one of the things to think about is that sometimes with large toy play, there's a concern from a partner that this is going to cause damage or that this is going to result in incontinence or something like that. So education can go a long way in that territory towards reassuring a partner that is totally okay. And information and education, period, is always a good idea. So you might want to consider having you to come to the webinar that I offer, because she will learn a whole bunch of stuff about why prostate stimulation feels so good to you, the physiology of the area, the different ways to approach prostate stimulation, all kinds of different things. Again, education is awesome and paves the way for comfort with different subjects. So yeah, webinar might be an awesome idea. The way cool thing about this is that you have so much experience using toys on yourself that you are her source of education and information. You can also remember to tell her about the health benefits of prostate massage and how this is going to keep your prostate healthy longer in life. And also, you will join the group of men that have a less of a chance of getting prostate cancer. Gay men who engage in anal sex have 16% less chance of getting prostate cancer than straight men do. So information is good, and also the levels of pleasure that are possible for you. If she's a G-spot kind of woman, you can compare those two. But start off with 112. And again, since this was posted in January, let us know how it goes. Let us know how you're doing now. And if you have gotten to the place of doing the pegging, please do write back and I'll play the music for you. Thanks for the post, sir. Here's another one I found in the forum in January. There is much talk of the intimacy of your lover pegging you and the recognition that sometimes the being used as an anonymous slut is a turn-on too. And then in parentheses, this person writes, me, 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 please. Also well covered is how bad the professional pegging porn is. That said, here is my question. Why is there no pegging DP porn? These tiny porn starlets take two or even three porn cocks in their ass, but I cannot find a single example of it in pegging. After fulfilling my fantasy of being fucked while coming in my wife's pussy, this is my biggest fantasy and has a chance of happening. The same woman who joined us previously would probably be game. It would be wonderful to see it while I am surfing porn clips to stoke my desire. Does anyone know of any video clips? So partly I wanted to crowdsource this. If anybody knows of any video clips of dual penetration, meaning two dildos in a guy's ass, both wielded by strap-ons, please write in and let us know so this guy can take a look at it. And yes, since this was posted in January, I'm curious as to whether or not you have lived out that fantasy. Okay, here's the next letter. Can you recommend any articles concerning reprogramming a hubby's thinking so he only associated sex with having the strap-on? That's my goal for him, and I would like to be able to read about what others have successfully done with this. Thank you. Unfortunately, I can't recommend any articles that I know of. I don't know of any articles that are concerned with reprogramming. And I know what you mean by that. And it sounds like you two are in a bit of a female-led relationship. And I don't know if it's 24/7 or if it's just in the bedroom. But probably that would be the best place to look, is to find forums that are talking about female-led relationships and ask there. Just in terms of a physiological point of view, having him in chastity and only allowing him to come when he's fucked, which is like a total fantasy of mine, but I am always concerned about the health of the prostate in a situation like that, would definitely make it so that's how he would associate it. But it does need to be consensual. I'm assuming that you guys have talked about that, and he's given you control, or he's agreed, or you've both agreed, and that is one way to do it, I think, with chastity. As much as I fantasize about chastity, doing it for any more than a week or two at a time is not something I probably would do, unless I did some sort of prostate milking as well, or unless I could peg him and he would have an ejaculatory orgasm. So that's the information I have for you around that. I'm sorry I don't have any articles about it, but that's a little out of the scope of what I offer and am familiar with. It's kind of in the scope of what I fantasize about, though. So thank you for the letter. And if anybody else has any suggestions, let us know. Pegging with the wife. Dear Ruby, I've only just discovered your website and am fascinated. I'm listening to some of your more recent podcasts and reading your May 2018 series of posts. Pegging is something I've been interested in for some time, and although I've taken care of my needs in a solo capacity all that time, I'm trying to find a way to open my wife's mind to the idea of wearing a strap-on and taking me from behind. The thought of her hands on my hips is exciting, and I don't want to get distracted here. Problem is, I fantasize about her and I in the bedroom a lot, mostly because we have many other demands on our time and are most of the time, sadly, too tired for sex of any kind. We do make an effort to have day dates on occasion with drinks and a bath and some good quality lovemaking, but they are few and far between. Also, I'm into cross-dressing and like the role-play aspect of it, and she's okay with it if it's just lingerie that we are wearing and are in bed, but gets weirded out when I meet her at the door in heels, stockings, panties and bra, a skirt and a top. No wig, they're too hot and scratchy, but I've managed to get her to have her way with me, with my feet up and her pretending to thrust into me while I lay on my back, essentially a dry humping session, but that only happens during late nights after she's had a couple too many. I feel like I'm taking advantage of her drunkenness to get what I want, her grinding my ass with her crotch, also known as imaginary pegging, but the sensation is still amazing. I only wish to have that experience with her involving the strap-on. It's just a difficult subject to broach. We are a married couple in our early 40s and have been together 16 years and married for 13. I've been reading some of the cross-dressing stories and pegging stories on the web, and that's how I found your website. I just wish the stories were a little more positive reinforcement and less the trickery and forced feminization as part of the cross-dressing. It's difficult to find cross-dressing stories that are positive and between a couple. I'd like to get my wife to peg me that way as a role reversal after a nice girl's date for us, but I just don't know how to make it happen and have her be open to it. Please, some guidance or suggestions would be helpful for how to begin the conversation. Wow, so you have a lot going on here. It's cool, it's way cool that she is okay with the cross-dressing, even to a limited extent. And that in and of itself is an indication that she's pretty open-minded. Plus, her sort of humping into your crotch, the imaginary pegging thing, even though she's doing it when she's kind of drunk, is also a sign of some open-mindedness there, and that she's willing to do some things that are a little different. So I think the way that I would approach it, first of all, make sure, and I know you're both tired, you both got a lot of demands on you, but if there is a way that you can set aside some time, maybe one of those day dates, not when you're in the bedroom, and you're talking about things and you have some cozy time. And to mention to her, you want to open up another level of desire and fantasies and share those with her because you love her and she's your wife and she turns you on. Kind of have your responses planned if you can, but isn't that gay? No, anything done between a man and a woman is not gay. But isn't it dirty? No, I can absolutely clean out and make sure that it's not dirty. But what if you decide you want to replace me with a guy? See, there's a possibility. I don't know your wife, so I have no idea how likely these responses are or aren't. That's not going to happen. I'm not into guys. I just want to explore this new thing. Then you can also talk to her about it. It's really healthy for your prostate, and it's capable of giving you some mind-blowing orgasms. So you don't want it to be a huge deal that contributes to more work for her, but it is something that you would like to put on the list of when we have the time and the energy, we would like to explore this. And to know that she is interested in exploring it with you. And at that point in time, it'd probably be a good time to have her listen to podcast number 112. And if there's any part of her that gets inspired by the idea once she listens to that podcast, then you're kind of good to go. And you just kind of have to guide it along and, you know, talk with her and get the equipment and the stuff like people do. In terms of incorporating that pegging thing with the cross-dressing, you might want to back off on the cross-dressing a little bit while you get the pegging happening. I hear how you've expressed how much you want those two together, but if she's kind of only accepts the cross-dressing to a certain extent, and she has had no experience being exposed to the pegging, and you're concerned about it, separate the two for a little while would be my personal advice. And if that doesn't feel right to you or sound right, then feel free to throw it in the trash. But I don't know, there's something that's telling me separate the two so that she can get used to the pegging thing. And who knows, maybe she'll find dominant underpinnings that she will grab and run with. You never know. I hear stories like that too. Make sure that this is not put in a way that puts pressure on her, because you've made it very clear that it's difficult to find time together. You're both tired. You don't have a whole lot of energy. And I'm not sure I have any solutions for that other than maybe tapping your community, finding people who might be willing to give you a night off and watch your kids. It sounds like you might have kids. I don't think you mentioned that you do. And making time together a priority. And that is a whole lot easier than it sounds, and I get it. But unless you do, you're going to be missing these amazing opportunities to explore each other's sexuality even more deeply. And once you've done the talking to her about the whole pegging thing, she can also be invited to share whatever it is she might be sitting on. Who knows? She might have a fantasy that she was kind of afraid to tell you. And the thing is like Paul said in podcast 200, when you share a vulnerability with someone, it tends to soften them and invite them to share a vulnerability with you. And many times these deep desires and fantasies that we have not shared with our partner feel very much like a vulnerability. They feel really scary to share. And doing so can deepen the relationship. I mean, it's not necessarily going to be all sunshine and roses. Who knows how she's going to react? But it will absolutely allow her to know you on a deeper level. And that's a gift. That is absolutely a gift, no matter what she decides to do with it. But to have that commitment to continue doing a little bit of sexual exploration on a continual basis, I think will make you happier, especially if some of your favorite things are on the list. Absolutely. So that's the best words I have for you. And I really wish you the best with this. It sounds like you're off to a good start and that she is an open-minded partner, which I'm thrilled about. And I think it's a small step, I really do. But it will likely require a lot of information. And that is what calms people's fears, is the information. So, podcast number 112, there you go. Good luck to you. Please do let us know how it goes. And let us know when I can play that music for you. Because I'm aching to. I really am. I think it would be totally awesome. So here's another post on the forum. Was just fisted in a sensational pro-dom session, and it was amazing. Never thought that would be something I was into, but glad that it happened. Anyone else incorporating the fist into your pegging sessions? There's a story incoming regarding this topic. We'd love to hear the story. I personally have performed fisting twice, and it's a really interesting sensation. It wasn't as tight as I thought it would be. I thought it would be so tight that it would, like, totally squish my hand. Because I do not have small hands. I have pretty decent-sized hands, so this guy was brave. And he loved it. What I'm really intrigued about is when your hand is in there, just the smallest of motion can get a huge reaction. You know, you twist your hand just a little bit, and it's like, oh my God, that's amazing. So, yes, we'd love to hear from other people who incorporate fisting in their play. And I'm interested in the story about that pro dom session. I would like to hear that story. Thanks for posting that in the forum. Here's my next one. Hello, all. I've been a fan of Ruby for years, mostly on Pegging 101, but recently found her podcast. What an incredible resource it is for this community. I actually shared one podcast with my wife and she loved it. No, not 112. We don't really struggle with the issue covered there. No, it was episode 200, number one, about the atrocious way our society emotionally hamstrings boys. It was just brilliant, and she loved it. So when I told her I'd like to share the blog I keep about our relationship change, and in parentheses he's written recent, she asked if I would share it here. I hadn't thought of that because this is a site about pegging. But after considering the nature of that episode she loved, I thought I would too. Imagine that. She made a great decision. Anyway, we've been married 20-plus years, mostly grown kids, house in the country, jobs in the D.C. metro area, both professionally successful. We were in a good place in our relationship, but I had been thinking about this for a while, and then he's got FLR, which means female-led relationship. And so I put together a cogent argument as to why we should move in this direction. The story of that is here, and he's got a link that I'm going to put in the Linkorama. And then he writes, I encourage you to check it out. If you are reading this, you're comfortable with pegging. I'll never forget one line from one of Ruby's podcasts. Strength is not a male characteristic. Compassion is not female. If you understand what she's saying there, you can understand why this kind of relationship can be healthy and emotionally satisfying. Love to hear any feedback you might have. And he signs it Millard. So sometimes we explore different alternative types of relationship structures on this podcast because, as you all know by now, pegging isn't just pegging. It extends to many, many other things, which I am totally game to include and explore. This is the subject of female-led relationships. And this guy started a blog. It's pretty recent. I read the blog and it's so well written in terms of their journey together. And I really encourage you to go check it out if that's something that appeals. The term female-led relationship can be misleading. It is not the same as female supremacist, which assumes that the male is the lesser and not equal and the female is superior. That's not it at all. It's more chosen roles in how to live together and letting her lead. And I really enjoyed reading the whole thing. The only thing I would suggest, Millard, is do something with the blog to make it a little bit more navigationally easier to deal with. It was difficult for me to get back to the original postings and then just read one by one from there. I had to kind of work at it, and you shouldn't have to do that when you go to a blog. Otherwise, it's brilliant. And I would encourage anyone who's interested in reading about that transition to go check it out. He writes from the heart. He writes experientially, if you will, and shares details that are quite interesting about making that transition from a typical relationship structure that is pretty much the default that everyone assumes, and then trying something new. And it is interwoven in this whole emotional hobbling of men in our society. So yeah, it's a cool read. Go check it out. I'm going to put the link for that. And in those postings, I found another gem, a total gem. This is a link to a different podcast that I found in the writings of Millard's blog. And it's a gem. It's a total gem. Anybody who's interested at all really should go listen to this because it's fabulous. The podcast is called Love Link, and there's two women who interview a man named Terry Real, who's written a number of books. It's podcast number 9. And basically what they're talking about addresses and intersects and elaborates on many of the issues that Michelle and I were talking about, but from the perspective of a trained therapist who's really dove deep into this, written a book. Here are some of the gems that I found in this podcast. One of the greatest aphrodisiacs in a couple is telling the truth to each other. When you don't tell the truth, passion dries up. When one person moves from being forthright to being managerial, resentment builds, generosity dries up, and passion dries up. In relationships, women feel that standing up for their wants and needs is selfish. Men feel that they're not supposed to have any wants and needs to begin with. What are they both afraid of? Vulnerability. The essence of masculinity in our society is opposite of vulnerability. It's invulnerability. Invulnerability precludes closeness in intimate relationships. You cannot be intimate and invulnerable at the same time. The first book he wrote is I Don't Want to Talk About It, Overcoming the Secret Legacy of Male Depression. And then he wrote a couple of more books about marriage relationships. And I'll leave you with one more gem that I found. And I really do encourage you all to go and listen to this podcast. The cost of patriarchy in manhood is your heart. Being in the one-up position is no more intimate and satisfying than being in the one-down position. You are missing out. Millard, thank you so much for sharing your blog with us and for that link to the interview with Terry Real. And I wish you both the best. I will be checking in because I'm fascinated. This is something that definitely appeals to me as well. So I appreciate you sharing all that information with us. And I wish you both the best. Here's my next email. Hey, Ruby, I'm new to the whole pegging thing, and I was wondering if you knew of any dating sites or apps that would help me meet older women that are into pegging. No. No such thing exists. I appreciate you writing in. I appreciate the question, but where you're going to find all of the information I have for you regarding that is in the drop-down menu on my website that says New to Pegging with a question mark. And you'll find a number of choices there. One is men. If you click on that, there's a whole bunch of articles that I've written. And there is one heading called something like, I want to find a woman to peg me. Where can I find a woman to peg me? Something like that. And there must be 7 or 8 articles underneath that. All of those are valuable to read because they all represent different points of view. They're not really necessarily all from me. Most of them are, but I have one story in there from a guy who says, this is how I find him, and this is how I kind of turn a vanilla girlfriend into a pegging girlfriend. And there is also from the perspective of if all you're looking for is the experience, then you should probably go find a pro. I did a couple of interviews with a man who did exactly that, so you can hear what that's all about. And also from the perspective of women who are asked to do pegging on a guy just because they know how to do it and how that pisses us off. Because we're seen as fetish delivery services, and that's not cool. So if you're looking for a girlfriend and a relationship of some sort, then look in your regular place where you look for women to date and try and find someone who's open-minded. And if you're not and you're just looking for the experience, then go find a pro. That's basically how to do it. And the caveat of older women, I saw that in your question. Well, that's actually something you could look for on a website. You can join FetLife, but really if you cruise around trying to find older women that are into pegging, you're just going to piss us off because that's not cool. It's like the first thing you're attracted to is the fact that we're enjoying pegging and that we like it, and that's not all right. It's the person. It's not the act. Just try and find someone really sexually open. So that's kind of the gist of it, and I don't think that a dating site that basically focuses on pegging, even though it's been tried a number of times, would ever work because there's a zillion men and the women are always overwhelmed anyway without ever even going to a dating site. So why would we want to be on there, right? And I do apologize for the slight annoyance in my voice. It was a simple question and clearly you didn't realize all this. So go ahead and read all those articles and go from there. Okay, here's another email. And the subject line said, Sexual Revolution in Charlotte. Hi, I'm a guy new to pegging at 45. I've been fantasizing about it for a long time, and about 2 months ago, I got my wife into it as well with me. I absolutely love it. After a recent session, though, I have developed a hemorrhoid. I'm curious if I did something wrong along the way with cleaning or during. I did a lot of research going into it, no pun intended. Our routine is as follows. We decide and plan for the day. Say we decide 7 o'clock tomorrow evening is the time. I take Imodium between 12 to 3. Then when I get home from work around 3, I perform an enema on myself, maybe 2 if it needs it. And then 2 to 3 hours later, we do it. Out of the 10 times we've done it, I've only shown stool once. Well, the day after our last session, I thought it was sore like in times before, but I have a hemorrhoid. Is this related and or can I do something different? Well, here's what I know about hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids are from a lack of circulation in the area. A hemorrhoid develops because there's not enough circulation there. I'm going to put a link to High Island Health. And interestingly enough, High Island Health is related to Aneros. It is the website that was initially put up for the Aneros device. And the Aneros device is a solo prostate massage device that was actually developed for prostate health. It wasn't developed for orgasmic stuff. That just turned out to be a side effect in the study that they did. It was used to treat swollen prostate or benign prostatic hyperplasia is the technical name for it. So in all of this study and on that website, High Island Health, is talk about hemorrhoids, and it's good information. They do have a handheld massage device that you can get. And basically what they talk about is the stages of different hemorrhoids and whether or not they are treatable by doing massage. The whole point about hemorrhoids is that there's not enough circulation in the area. And you would think, well, shoot, if we're doing pegging, why wouldn't there be enough circulation in there? It's more complicated than that because the whole pelvic floor area in men tends to be a place where they hold tension in their pelvis. And that can manifest in a whole bunch of different ways. So it does give you grades of the different hemorrhoids and whether or not those can still be treated by using the massage device or by just doing massage yourself. So I'm going to put links to that information. And what I do know about, and hopefully that will be helpful to you, I don't see that your particular method of preparing is a problem in terms of the hemorrhoids. But it's possible that the hemorrhoid is to a point where it needs to be removed surgically. I think that's what they recommend when it's external. It's kind of when it's an external one, it's hard to reverse it. But there are absolutely people who have had beginnings of hemorrhoids that are still internal that have managed to do massage and make those go away. So yeah, read up on it and see. They know more about it than I do. So pegging cannot create a hemorrhoid. If anything, it's going to make it better. Now, if one exists, it's possible it can irritate it. So there's that to take into consideration as well. Here is one more suggestion for you too. It has been talked about before on this podcast about hemorrhoids, and somebody wrote in with the suggestion that if you do the male Kegel exercises, which is basically exercising all those pelvic floor muscles, that doing those for 5 minutes or so seems to really reduce any inflamed hemorrhoids that might be there. One guy wrote in and said, you know, all I have to do is do those exercises for a little bit and it really tends to calm things down. Probably the reason it does is because it, again, increases the blood flow in that area and then allows for some relaxation. So there you have it. Thanks for the question. Okay, here is my next letter, butt plugs. Hi, Ruby. As always, I hope you're doing well. I'm sorry about your negative feelings, and I'm glad to hear you're feeling a bit more picked up. Me too. I wrote to you a little while ago telling you how, for some reason, I can't experience super intense orgasms via solo anal play compared to when my wife does it, which is not something she particularly enjoys doing. You had kindly suggested to increase the stimulation, such as with a vibrating toy. I own one butt plug, the Tantus Slim, which I didn't have a great experience with because it doesn't stay put. This time, in addition to buying something that vibrates, I opted for something thinner in the neck but wider in the head, hoping that would do the trick. It's a silicone plug, perhaps 1.5 inches in diameter at its widest point, and incorporates a vibrating bullet. It's much bigger than anything I've had up there, the Slim and my wife's finger. But once I turned on the vibration, it slipped in smoothly and felt and this is all in caps, incredible. It's a short plug and doesn't seem to touch the prostate, but the fullness and vibration is still immensely pleasurable somehow. The problem is, even this one kept slipping out until I clench hard, which makes maintaining an erection difficult. I can't sit on it because then the button clicks and it stops vibrating. I'd really like to use it while fucking my wife, a compromise from her doing the stimulation, but I don't see how that will work. Can you suggest some way I can hold it in, or perhaps a position that may work so I can comfortably use it during sex and or masturbating? Best regards, Steve. So, Steve, I'm glad that the vibrations are feeling good. That is the one first step. It sounds like you just have a very relaxed anal sphincter, because if it's 1.5 inches in diameter and the neck is fairly thin, it's unusual for it to come out that easily. So you have a couple of choices here. You can try and get another plug that has even more of a differential between the thin neck and the wide plug, or you can get a bigger plug. There is one harness that I know of that can hold a butt plug in, and then your cock and balls will go through a silver ring, so you could use that to hold it in while you're fucking her. That's a possibility, but I don't think it would necessarily solve the problem of the vibration control being on the end of the bullet, which sticks out there, because if you're going to have a harness to hold it in, that's going to press on that bullet too and turn it off. Another option is to get another plug that is controlled by remote. And there are several of these. Probably the one that would stay in the best and might have some fun for your wife as well is the Jeju Nuo, because it is operated by remote, but it is also can be operated by a phone app. So it can be operated at distance, so to speak. So if your wife knows that this is really something that turns you on and she just wants to mess with you, you could have it in while you go to the store, she could turn it on. And you could also give her the remote while you are fucking her and you have it in, and she could mess with you and send you over the edge while you're fucking her. You get the point. But the nice thing about that plug is that the controls for it are not on the bottom of it, so there is no problem with you sitting on it and turning it off, as well as the neck of it is actually sort of a collapsible silicone sleeve, so it can get quite thin, and I think it may stay in easier. In terms of it staying in, I'm not sure what to advise you, because other than going to a bigger plug, I'm not sure what would work the best. It is possible that if you go to a big plug and you don't have the vibrations, that fullness and that sensation would be enough to give you that really intense orgasm that you seek. And in that case, what I would recommend is the Enjoy plugs. There are 3-4 different sizes. And the interesting thing is, you know, when you talk about the slim and your wife's finger, those are teeny tiny plugs. Most people pass those up like long ago. It sounds like one of the things that satisfies you is girth. So I would go for something bigger. I'm going to put links to those things on the Linkorama. The Enjoy Pure plugs is what they're called, are stainless steel. And the biggest one they have is 2 inches in diameter. So it's quite a sizable one. The large, I think, is an excellent size. And I can't remember whether that's 1.5 inches, a little bit bigger than that, somewhere around there. And it also has a very slim neck. There is no vibrations, but the weight of that stainless steel is awesome. And I think it will do a better job of targeting your prostate. You don't mention what brand of plug that you have, so I can't really check it out. But that is the best information I have for you. Good luck with finding that equally intense orgasm on your own. Here's my next letter. Okay, this is a posting on my FetLife group. I actually have a group of my own now. So if you're on FetLife, please join it. Ruby Riders, Pegging Paradise. And this was posted in there, and it was sometime before Mother's Day, and I got lost in the busyness of May. Here you are. And I think the title of it was something about Mother's Day present and the Aslan Minx, which is a harness. Hello, Ruby and friends. You read that right. What better Mother's Day present for a stressed-out mom? I started out with one of the Sport Sheets fabric harnesses, and it's great for a curvy gal, but that's when I thought pegging was something I wanted to do occasionally. Turns out I can't get enough of my panty princess's ass. So I ordered the Aslan Minx. I wanted something where I could pull the straps tighter and it wouldn't move around as much. Of course I'm going to want to pull it out of the box the second it gets here, smell the yummy leather smell, adjust all the straps, and fuck my panty princess. But I don't know anything about leather care. Do I need to do anything to it before using it? Immediately after? How often? What do I use? There's lots of conflicting information out there. Ruby, I feel like you may have covered this in a podcast at some point, but I'm not sure. Hopefully you aren't too busy celebrating Masturbation Month and can post a few links in leather care so I can get down to business. Thank you for all you do. You're the best. Jay. So, Jay, it's long after Mother's Day. I'm assuming your harness has arrived. I hope you went ahead and used it anyway. Leather is fairly durable. You just don't want to submerge it and get it all wet and do things to it that are going to mess it up like that. But what I do with mine is after I use it, I just wipe it down with a damp cloth and a little bit of hand soap and just kind of wipe it down. And then I wipe it once again with just a plain wet cloth with no soap on it. Now, periodically, if you use it a lot, which it sounds like you want to, you're going to have to do some leather care. And I did mention that in a previous podcast, so let me look that up for you and give you a number of which one it is. You know, I'm not finding it. I've looked and looked, and I'm not willing to spend any more time on it. I know I've talked about leather conditioning before, and I seem to recall I even linked to a product that conditions leather. But the short story is, you don't have to go to extremes. You don't have to, like, coat it with something before you use it or anything like that. You can just use it, wipe it down like I mentioned, and then periodically use a conditioner on it. If you Google how to take care of leather in the BDSM world, you might be able to find something. I think I have a vague memory of me finding information about that and finding a product. But, you know, if you go to a Western store and you have a leather conditioner stuff, that's totally fine to use as well. So there you have it. Please do remember that leather is porous, so it's possible for bacteria to get in there and stay there. So I haven't heard of any situations where infections of various communicable diseases or things like that have been spread by leather harnesses, but it's just good to keep that in mind and maybe not have a leather harness if you plan on using it out on a whole bunch of different people. So there you go. That is what I know about cleaning leather harnesses. I don't use mine as often as I use my fabric ones, so I have not even conditioned my leather harnesses at this point. They stay pretty supple, you know. That's what's happening with mine anyway. Thanks for the question, and I hope you had a fabulous Mother's Day. Here's my next letter. I had long referenced Pegging 101 and even posted in the comments and put up a few pictures, but I have never been to Pegging Paradise, the website. I get to Pegging Paradise frequently with my wife. I try to avoid pornography, largely because I have a weakness for it, and while this site is relatively tame, I try not to trigger my behavior with justifications that could lead to problems. However, I recently started listening to podcasts to prepare for an upcoming visit as a guest speaker on a friend's rather popular film podcast. This is when I recalled you had one, and I have been listening to you almost nonstop. This brings me to my questions. The first one is easy. It is a suggestion by way of a question. Why limit yourself to Pegging 101? You clearly have a doctorate in pegging by now, and I would appreciate some 300 and 400 level classes. If these are available, do you have a list on your website somewhere? We've been pegging for more than a decade, and I'd love to read or hear content that just fast forwards past the "it's okay, he's not gay" part to the "this is how you prepare yourself for deep penetration" or "tips for hands-free orgasms" part. I like hearing the success stories and the encouragement, but I would love to focus on advanced topics mostly. The second question is tangential and may fall outside of your area of expertise. As I intimated above, I have issues with sex addiction. Each person is different. I can smoke one cigarette a month, drink whatever alcohol I like, etc., and walk away from it without an issue. But it is almost a full-time job, even with active participation in 12-step programs or therapy, just to keep my hand off my dick and my browser history clear of porn. I have the most amazing lover for a wife, and her support has got me this far, but I am looking to make a pretty serious commitment to free myself from the burden my addiction carries. I was hoping you could point me in the right direction for male chastity advice. Perhaps you have even experimented with it with a partner. Much like pegging, though, the public information about it and the porn all seems to be pointed at femdom or brutality. That's not what I want. I just want to give my wife the key, and when she feels like including my dick in her sex, she can. I want to take it off my list of responsibilities, not get involved in female-led marriage or a cutesy keyholder contract. I am positive she wouldn't laugh me out of the room or be angry, but I want to come to her with information, do my research, and then have an informed discussion. I know it's a possibility with her, so I just want to be able to give her the most information possible. Of course, though the upside of her pegging me in chastity after a week of not having orgasmed is, of course, intriguing, I do not want to make this about fulfilling some kinky fantasy, but rather use it as a tool that will help build our already robust relationship and help me clear the decks so I can focus on other things when I am not with her. Let me know what you think. Thanks, Terry. P.S. Episode 199 was exceptional. I was preparing to call you per your request, but my notes for the call seemed better suited to an email. Terry, thank you so much for this letter. This is full of all kinds of stuff. And first of all, I appreciate your wanting to call me and cheer me up. That's lovely. And it's also lovely that you've been pegging for so long and that you have referenced Pegging 101. So, okay, I get the whole thing about you not wanting to expose yourself to pornography. And unfortunately, when you search chastity on the internet, that is a lot of what you get. So, I have a particular fascination with chastity. I've done a fair amount of research with other people, but do not have a fair amount of experience myself, especially with long-term chastity. So, here are some of the things that I know about it. And one of the things that first intrigued me about the chastity thing is why men enjoy it and why also they might enjoy it while getting pegged. So I'm going to reference what a guy wrote. He wrote a bunch of reasons down why men love chastity or can love it. And that was particularly well written and articulate and eye-opening for me. So I'm going to put the link to that. That goes back to my Pegging Paradise website. And then you mentioned that you had been listening to my podcasts. On podcast number 141, I dove into the whole part about chastity and had a lot of contributions from other people. So that is a good podcast for you to listen to. And there is also a link I'm going to put to a forum mention on chastity. And that is educational in terms of a guy who did it, I think, for 60 days and just mentioned all the emotional things he went through and the different types of play that he and his partner did. But that might be something good for you to read as well. And none of these have any pornography attached any further than the pictures and things that you might encounter on Pegging Paradise. The other things I have found out about it is I know an awful lot about prostate care and prostate health. So the only thing that I've ever had concerns about regarding longer-term chastity is to make sure that that prostate has enough ejaculation so it stays healthy, and if it's not an ejaculation, that you somehow drain the prostate of the fluid, and that is sometimes called milking. And I'm quite sure that that can be done with practice, with an Enjoy Pure Wand. I'll put the link to that in there. That's that curved stainless steel tool that is amazing for not only G-spot, but prostate as well, because you don't want to lock up and not have enough ejaculations and then put yourself in a category of men that are more at risk for different problems in the future. One of the things that I think is really cool about this is when I asked, okay, so what's this chastity deal? And then, you know, I'll link to the article that the guy gave me all of these different reasons. One of the things I keep hearing about what chastity does for men, and in your case it sounds like it particularly applies, is that it takes the responsibility of deciding when to jerk off away. And this was expressed as a relief by men who have experienced chastity, sort of like, well, you know, it's a kind of a constant thing, is what one guy said. You know, am I going to jerk off? When am I going to jerk off? How am I going to jerk off? Whatever. How am I going to have sex? When am I next going to ejaculate? So that it can be sort of an overarching thing that takes over what's happening in your life to a large extent, or even to a mediocre extent, but still it's ever present, is the way that he described it. And he described the relief of having her hold the key and knowing that that decision has been taken away from him, so he can concentrate on other things, just exactly like you said. So this was expressed as sort of a relief by a number of different men, and this was a surprise to me, but it does make sense, and it absolutely intersects with everything that you're talking about there. So I found a couple of links that I'm going to put in the Linkorama of information for you, and these are strictly journal, blog-ish type of websites. So they have a lot of information about the male chastity choice and situation in relationships. I encourage you to read through them and discard what you don't like and then pick up the information that you do like, because many times the relationships in which the couple decides to have enforced male chastity, it does usually include other things. So there may be some kinks in there that are not your thing, like you talked about keyholder contract and stuff like that. It sounds like what you're wanting is just the practicalities, but I do suggest that you read these articles because the practicalities are addressed much more so in one article than the other, but also some of the emotional repercussions and the things surrounding the choice you're about to make are talked about as well. The likely emotional and psychological changes inside you and things like that. So read up on those and hopefully that will add to your knowledge. I do not have a recommendation in terms of what's the best chastity device. That's a very individual thing is what I found. And I do suggest that it might be a good idea to use a kind of cheaper silicone device at first to see if this is something that works for you. And just to have that, and it may not be optimum, and you may decide that you want something more secure later, or you may decide that that silicone one is totally fine. Comfort for long-term wear is a priority, absolutely. So getting the very most comfortable device that you can wear all the time, especially if what you're envisioning is you wearing it 24/7 and her deciding when you could take it off and get off, right? Comfort's going to be the huge thing. Chastity devices range from something you can get for like $20 on Amazon or eBay to things that are hundreds and hundreds of dollars that are custom made for you and are metal and all kinds of things. It really depends on what you want, what you're drawn to, and what you think will be the most comfortable. That is all the information I have for you. If anybody else has a link to a good website that talks about how to figure out what kind of chastity device to get, what things to take into consideration when you're choosing, then please do send that in. I'm sure this man would love to have that information. And I wish you the best with that. Please let us know how it goes. Thanks for the question. And yeah, the whole idea of getting pegged after being denied an orgasm for quite some time and then having the hands-free orgasm, yeah, that's a total turn-on. Absolutely. Okay. Here's another email. I'm a musician living in LA. I love having sex with my girlfriend. We both love giving blowjobs, and I want to try the next level of sex. Bottom line is, I'm afraid of anything butt related. I know I need to get over it, and I bought a massager, but I can't even get the courage to perform a fleet enema. Any advice for me? I really want to try this, but I'm less scared of wearing high heels to a gun range than I am being around my bum. I think part of it is also a disgust mechanism. Wow. I appreciate you writing in. And I commend you for wanting to take your sex to the next level. I think it's totally awesome. So here are some of the things that can have affected you in terms of like the disgust mechanism. Children, unfortunately, are shamed when it comes to butt stuff and sexual stuff. Children are actually very sexual little beings. If you leave a child to its own devices, it will have its hands on its genitals. And because it's pleasurable, of course they will. It's not because there's this whole pedophile sexy kid thing. That's fucking ridiculous. So, unfortunately, the reaction of many parents is to shame children about that, especially around butt stuff. It's like, you just don't touch that. That's disgusting. You don't touch that. And you fuck kids up this way because butts are normal. Butts are part of your body. And butts are not something to be ashamed of and or disgusted by. So that's one thing. I love the comparison you made, that you're less scared of wearing high heels to a gun range, because that's actually a pretty sexy vision for me. So I appreciate that. But I'm sad for you that you have so much fear about your bum. What I would suggest, because it sounds like your girlfriend's on board, is that you guys just take it really, really, really slow. And also, one of the things that you can do is you can take my webinar, because the more information a person has, the more it can calm the fears around a particular act or something that you want to explore but have some fears about. So I would suggest that you drop into one of my webinars. And for anybody who doesn't know by now, my webinars are ongoing regularly. It's just beginning pegging. I do not have the advanced course yet. And for the givers, who are usually women but don't always identify as women, it's free. And for the receivers, which are usually men but don't always identify as men, I ask for a small donation of $15. But if funds would keep you away, please just shoot me an email. How you can find the schedule of these webinars is just go to my Pegging Paradise website. And on the right-hand side, it'll say webinars. Or on the top, it'll say learn. That's a drop-down menu. And one of the choices there is webinars. It'll take you to the page where I list all of the ones I have scheduled. I do it about once every 10 days to 2 weeks, something like that. And I try and do it a variety of times and days. If you have specific requirements around days and times, and this is for anybody listening, not just this guy who wrote in, please send me an email and ask for that. I'm happy to accommodate it. So that's one of my suggestions, is to learn more about it. So take the webinar, because, you know, you're interested in this and you want to do it. Well, part of calming your fears is learning about it. And then back to the part about taking things really, really slowly. I do mean really, really slowly. So for example, the first time you do anything, it could be, okay, you've got sexy time scheduled, or you know you're going to have sexy times. And she could lay you over a couple of pillows and encourage you to be all relaxed, maybe give you a little massage, and you could have an agreement between the two of you that the only thing that she's going to do is just massage around the outside of your anus, and that's it. That can feel really, really good, because there's all these amazing nerve endings there that are quite erotic, that can give you lovely turn-on feelings. And that's it. And then you do that for a while, and then you do whatever else you want to do for sexy times. You do oral sex or PIV or whatever. And then the next time, maybe go in just a little bit, right? You see my point? One step at a time, much, much more slowly. And if you have these fears, you can ask her to, like, check in before she goes to the next stage, like maybe the second time you try it. And the whole point would be her to get her finger a little ways inside your ass. Maybe she should ask you before she does that. It's like, do all the massage and everything, and then say, okay, I'm ready to put a finger in. Are you ready for that? Because that way you have control over it. That is also something that can calm fears. If you think that unexpected things are going to happen, or you don't have any control over the situation, that can stoke fears. So a lot of communication between the two of you. I'm not sure how much she's down for helping you with all of this, but if she's good giving in game, and you are able to come to her and say, look, I really, really want to explore this with you, but man, we are going to have to go slow because I'm freaking out here. Can I have your help? I have some suggestions for you. Now, I have an article written for couples that is written sort of to her, if you will. So it's like, okay, giver of the pegging formula, this is how you start your very first exploration of his ass. And it's got great information. You can take what I write there and split it up into 5 or 6 or 10 different sexy time exploration things if you want to go really, really slow. But that's the key to it, is going really, really slow. But you don't have to do an enema every time before you do sexy times, especially if you're just going to be playing around the outside and maybe a little bit on the inside. It should really be okay if you just have a good diet, have lots of roughage, have regular bowel movements, and so you try and go to the bathroom before you have the sexy time play stuff, and then just wash yourself with soap and water on the outside. No big deal. All you really need to do is to get a rectal bulb syringe and rinse out. Now, I get that. You can't even get the tip of the Fleet enema in there. So for now, forget about the cleaning out. Just make sure you have a really good diet and you go beforehand. Cross that bridge when you come to it. And once you're inside the ass, like with one of her fingers, then you can do the clean out because you had something in there that's that big. One more recommendation I have, since you have some fears about this, is while you two are playing this way, she can do other things to stimulate you. Pull your cock and balls behind the pillows that you're laying over so she has access to those as well. And while she's playing around with your ass and massaging it, she can stroke your cock a little bit. She can play with your balls a little bit. This kind of rewires your system to associate getting your ass played with lovely pleasure, okay? So that is something to incorporate as well. So I'll put all those links in the Linkorama and let us know how it goes. Just take it slow, like I say, and have fun with it. Oh my gosh. If nothing else, then laugh and laugh about how wild this is that you're having to go so slow and give yourself a break that this is how you feel. There's a reason you feel this way. Who knows what it is? Who really knows if it's necessary to figure out why you feel this way? The whole point is getting through it and getting through it with your partner, who it sounds like you have a very supportive partner and that she will help you do that. So I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama as well for the rectal bulb syringe. That has a very forgiving, nice, soft silicone tip to it and is easier able to sanitize. Plus, it's got a check valve to reduce the amount of dirty water that can get sucked back in once you put it in your ass and squeeze the water out. So it's just the best rectal bulb syringe that I have found, and it's called the ErgoFlow Director. I'm going to put a link to that in the Linkorama as well, once you are to the point of considering that purchase. Okay, I think that's it for today. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com. where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum, or at pegging101.com, where you will find informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page. And if you order any sexy new toys from enticeme.com, use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too arrogant, too asinine, or too advanced. Don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.